Morning, friends, brothers and sisters. My name is David Yip. I'm one of the elders here in this church, and it's my privilege to share God's word with you today. And it's amazing for us that we can worship God in this place together with you and in a free country. And we're here to really thank our Heavenly Father. And the praising team has really helped us in doing that. So as we continue with the worship, not only in reading God's word, but also understanding God's word, let us bow our heads and allow the word to speak to us and invite His presence into our midst. Father God, your sovereignty is always here. Your victory is secure, and your love to us is palpable. May we open our whole beings to you as we study your words so that we can process and apply your truth. Holy Spirit, please speak to us beyond these human words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the title of my sermon is On Foundation in a Christian Community. Now, I must give credit where credit is due. The introduction is inspired by Pastor Chichi Okwa from Chicago. She asked this question: have you ever been chosen for anything? Have you ever been chosen for something? Now, throughout our lives, in our families, in our education and work, we're continuously working towards being chosen for something. We study, we work out, we plan our careers, we find the right mate so that we can be good enough to be chosen for something. I remember when I was in my school days, you know, I loved to play soccer. And I'm not a very good soccer player. So when we gather in the field, in church, in school, there you are, you have the two team captains. I'm never good enough to be the team captain. So team captains will say, okay, you and you, and join me in the team. Boy, I'm telling you, I want to be chosen right away. Wouldn't you? You know, if you get chosen right away, there is joy within you. You know that you matter, that you belong, that you can contribute into the team. Maybe sometime you can even win. That's great. However, on the other hand, if I'm the last one to get chosen, oh, man, it feels bad. I feel rejected. I feel pain. You know, maybe they're choosing me as the last one so that there is just enough space for one body to get in. That's all. In real life, there is gut-wrenching pain as we are rejected in work. The school that we strive to get into, the relationship that we hope to secure for the rest of our lives. There are rejections, there are pain. Have you ever been chosen for something? First one I want to bring up is that belonging to a Christian community. Romans 5, 7-8, it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, if I can add, while we were still God's enemy, Christ died for us. What a profound statement, a statement of love, a statement of care. With the blood of Jesus, we're bought back to have this relationship with our God. And more than that, we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts so that we can overcome sin. Our minds are renewed and we no longer belong and conform to the pattern of this world. We are chosen. We belong to Him and also this community, His family. So as you look into your verse, in verse 4 and 5, the analogy of the Christian community is expressed as a human body. The different organs of the human body are there to provide harmony and strength and balance, so that we can eat, sleep, enjoy life, and work and play do all these things. But two words here are very important as we look at 4B. We do not have the same function. Function. Another word, very important. Every member belong to one another. So we're brought into this community of believers, no longer hampered by the standard of this world. What are the standards of this world? You know, you have to belong to a certain gender, a certain status, a certain ethnic background, a certain hierarchy before we can be in or out. But in Jesus' community, this is not the case. We don't have to do extra in order to get in because God has chosen us. We belong to this level playing field. We're all needed, we all belong, we all matter, and also we all contribute to this team. That's God's will for us. It's so good. Now, someone would ask, I'm not too sure, you know, about this community life thing. You know, I thought as far as I'm saved, you know, I'm going to heaven. I have Holy Spirit in my heart. I pass the exam. You know, I'm done. So, you know, what is this big deal? I have to take it. Heaven is waiting for me. And I'm here to enjoy church and fellowship. Here am I. I'm just here to enjoy. Sorry, friends, brothers, and sisters. I hate to burst the bubble. Because if we look into Romans chapter 7, 4, it says, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order you might bear fruit for God. Brothers and sisters and friends, as we live in this life, as we are saved by the Lord Jesus, we are to bear fruit for God. So you ask, in what context? The Apostle Peter talked about this very clearly. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and to this wonderful light. We're chosen. We are honored. We belong to God. And we were serving our community so that we can bring other people to Christ. What a change for all of us who are striving through our lives to be in, to be, you know, with our education, with our status, with our achievement and all that kind of stuff, in order to feel significant. In God's economy, in God's design, we're all in as long as we receive Jesus. Every single one of us who has come to the foot of the cross to be saved and accept this salvation all belong to this community of believers. Then, what are some of the old world standards as we bring into this community that we have to check at the door? You know, it's like going to a museum. You got to check out all your things in a backpack and put it beside on the door before you go in and enjoy the museum and enjoy this community. First of all, if we think too highly of ourselves, you will not see our need for other people in the body of Christ. Or if we think too lowly of ourselves, we will not feel worthy to allow people to love us, to care for us in this body of Christ. Sober judgment, as is being said in verse 3, causes us to stop the exhausting and the futile self-fulfillment and self-realization, as what this world said. No, we shouldn't do that. In turn, we launch ourselves into this company, this community of love, of real, a realness, of truth, and care for each other, and allow them to see the real me. What about the discovering and deployment of our spiritual gift? So, we're in this community of believers in a level playing field. How do we declare the praises of God as in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9? The point is God has deposited into every single one of us. No exceptions, every single one of us. Supernatural gifts in each one of us as we enter into his life and not to enter into his community. So we have gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're given this spiritual gift as the Holy Spirit rests in us so that we have victory over sins, but more than that, we can help other people in our community. Those are the functions that we serve. That's why we're here. In verse 6, it said, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Gifts that are given to us are there to help us, are there to show God's love for us. So embrace this gift, because it shows his love, his care for us. Now, these gifts are totally different from what we get as gifts on our birthdays, or even for Christmas, or Mother's Day, or Father's Day. Those gifts, we can do whatever we want with them, right? If we don't like it, we can even give it to as a secondhand gift to other people. So I remember a few years ago, as I was working in the building committee meeting, it was really late at night. So we're all very tired, you know, all 10 or 15 of us. So I brought these Bernet Charlebeau chocolates to them, and you know, just pick everybody up a little bit. You know, as we were just so hungry, so we had a few in our mouth, and we're chewing on it. And I told them, "Oh yeah, these are gifts from our friends about 2 years ago." What? You know. And they were just kind to spit out the sugar and the fungus and whatever's inside. No, then I assured them, no, I was just joking with you guys. You know, I just got these about a week ago. Spiritual gift from God is not like the gift that we receive that we can pass on to others if we don't want it. No. It is not for our own. It's for other people's benefit, so that we can help other people. Now, no one have all the gifts. The one component of true humility is that we no longer compare ourselves with others. We're only responsible for the gifts that God has given us. We don't have to worry about the gifts that other people receive. The world competes to surpass others, but God calls us to bless others. Isn't that great? Here in verse 6 and 7, as we look into this, you know, we see that, you know, Paul's not trying to give us an exhaustive list of gifts. It is only an illustrative list, so that Paul can emphasize one thing, and that is the using of our primary gift to benefit others. Every single Christian should have a primary gift. Now, pastoral studies have found that one of the key character of a high-impact church in a community is we'll always be able to help church members to discover the spiritual gift and also deploy them. This gift we receive will align with your passion, your background, your experience, your natural abilities, lessons that you learn, sometimes painful, and circumstances. As you mature, you learn to develop them and embellish them and deploy them, the primary gift in a way that results in inexplicable joy and also fruitfulness. Now, verse 6, it says, if a man's gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement, and so on. The focus of this passage is on the discovery of our primary spiritual gift and use it diligently and cheerfully. We have just heard about the announcement, which is great, of many of these classes that we have. And what are they for? To help us to develop the spiritual gift and also help the speakers to develop their spiritual gifts so that we can help each other out to really build each other. So, as we discover our spiritual gifts, there are some priorities and decisions, important decisions we have to make. You know, if you understand how God has supernaturally gifted you, it will also dictate how you spend your time. That's very important. As a lay leader in the church, I've been involved in different projects, but recently I was involved in community outreach. So Pastor Stan, together with the three elders, you know, we come together and think of ways how we can reach out to the Hamptons in our neighborhood. So we think of soccer coaching and think of open house, you know, think of sports and different games that we can do. But we need to have a team. So we've been praying for a team. And as we share with the Brent sisters, in order to look into inviting them to join this team, we always give them the vision of what we're trying to do and also give them about 2 weeks to think about it. So they can, you know, after we share with them, they can reject it right away or say yes or no, whatever, but also give them 2 weeks to think through it. I really appreciate those that have thought through it for about 2 weeks and come back and saying that, hey, God is directing me to another area of ministry, maybe teaching, maybe apologetics. That's great. I don't feel rejected, but I'm really encouraged that God is speaking to their hearts. Allow them to use the gift that God has given them in order to really prosper this church. So what I do, I encourage them, I pray for them, and I also bless them for what God is guiding them to do. You know, countless sincere Christians find themselves saying yes to just about everything that other people request of them. Often out of guilt, because this is the Christian way of doing things. God doesn't want you to dabble into everything. He wants you to be willing to do one thing, the primary gift, in a way that will really benefit you and others. Do it faithfully, but he wants you to spend the majority of the time in focusing on that. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has really prepared you in advance, before you were even saved, to do good works for his community and also for the world. Isn't that great? What an awesome God. What an all-knowing and merciful God. So where do we begin, you ask? There are over 25 different spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible, but which one do I have? Ask yourself these simple questions. What do I love to do? What am I good at? And also in your daily Bible reading, what has God been nudging you and telling you in your heart that you should do? And once you find out, you know, some pastors suggest, just do it for 6 weeks. Try it out. Just try it out, do it for 6 weeks. And God will guide you in the sweet spot of where you can serve him. Now, we also understand that there are quite a few of the spiritual gift surveys and questionnaires you can follow. You can use those, yeah. But also you need guidance, and also you need somebody to come alongside with you so that we can be accountable for what is being said and done. And some of the questions can be misleading, so you need somebody to guide you. The longer you serve in one area, the longer you will find how God is leading you to the sweet spot. The rule of thumb is spend your time serving as long as you can in a primary gift and do it faithfully, and also to say no to other things, to very good things, but don't feel guilty about it or live up to other people's expectation. Now, gifts cannot be developed instantaneously. It can be a lifelong pursuit. You know, for example, gift of teaching, of starting churches, and all that. Development of the gifts takes time. It takes confirmation of others. churches like us that are blessed with leaders as pastors, elders, deacons, and council members are always looking out for brothers and sisters to help them to identify their gifts and also deploy them. But we also need follow-up questions like, hey, how are you doing with your service? How's it coming along? You know, it's been 3 to 4 weeks now. What have you learned so far? What is God speaking to you? We all need encouragement. We need wise counsel. We need also prayers to nurture and confirm each other. That is the major part of what leaders should be doing in our church. In Willow Creek Church in Chicago, they have more than 3 services on Sunday. So there's only one preaching pastor that day. And because it's a multi-staff situation, the one person will go up. And the rest of the pastors, you know, while the person speaks, the rest of the pastors sit right there on the front side and they listen and watch and listen attentively. As the first service comes to a close, the pastor who preaches will come down and gather all the other pastors and say, you know, what do you think about it? You know, so within the next 15 or 20 minutes, you know, before the next service starts, they will gather all together and give, you know, advices and give comments and also, say that, hey, that joke is really good. That's really funny. You know, so the encouragement, so that as the time stops after the 20 minutes, as the second service starts, the preaching pastor will go up to be able to gather all these informations and edit their own sermon so that they can have maximum input and maximum effect for the sermons. Wow, you say, hey, that's kind of rough, man. Wow, that's critical. Man, that's I'm not sure if I can handle that. The reason why they do that is that they want to show their camaraderie, they want to show their love, but also they want to show how humble and caring they are of each other. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found on those who take advice. When there is no pride, there is no strife. People taking advice and our lives are changed. Especially true when advice are given on a one-to-one basis in private. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it also said, the purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. You know, after serving for 6 weeks or so, some of us may find that, hey, that is not really the place that I should be serving because it doesn't really matches me. I'm not sure I can discover that. So find someone who has insight. Find someone who is discerning to help you understand where you can find your spiritual gift and pray for it. That's what true community is all about. Are we too proud to take corrections? Are we too proud to take advice? Are we courageous or caring enough to help someone to find the true gifts and also to get better? We need both. We need both. A month ago, I was giving really sound advice as I asked for it. A leader lent almost half an hour of his time and shared with me the lesson he's learned. And it was so personal, it was so refreshing, it really touches my heart, and I love that. You know, a Christian life on earth, we're all accountable to God for our thoughts and deeds. In the same with the discovering and deployment of our spiritual gifts, we're accountable to God for our gifts. In Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Matthew chapter 25:14, it says, the parable of the talents. You know, the parable of the talents is that all, as the master was just about to leave, he gave gifts and also a monetary amount of money to invest for the servants. After a long time, the master returned, and he wanted to settle the account with the servants. whether those servants have been really using their wits and the wisdom to invest. To the faithful servants, the master said in verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Wow. When we can make our Lord happy, isn't that the best thing in our life? Now contrast that at the end of the chapter with the unfaithful servants. We don't have time to read that, but it's not a happy scene. I'm not so sure what the Bible really means, but there are serious consequences. So the lesson is, don't squander the spiritual gift God has given you and me. I'm aware of a few spiritual gifts needed in our church. You know, we're looking for brothers and sisters who can help facilitate Alpha in the evening starting October for people in the community to welcome our neighbors to attend. We're looking for a team of brothers and sisters who can make quick connections with newcomers who come to join us in open house, in board games, in VBS, in the David camps. Those who cross our parking lot into our midst, not only do we welcome them, we also want to phone them up and say, how can we add value into your life? This is what the activities that we have. How can we help you? Now, these people, the people that phone, you know, you got to be thick-skinned because, you know, you can have phone just hang up on you, or they say, you know, some, you know, negative things, but you have the heart, you have the heart of caring when you phone, when you connect these people. The Saturday morning Chinese school has been an evangelistic arm for many years, and lately has become more popular among our ethnic groups. We need dedicated teachers and helpers to teach these Chinese lessons well, and also to pray and care for the life of the students and the families. We have many plans in ECAC, and I'm sure there are many plans for those who visit us from other churches coming up in September. We need you to discover and deploy your spiritual gifts in our church and also in your churches to make our plans and your plans work. The third point I want to bring is the foundation of our service. You know, the more I think about service, the more I think about gifts, this thought coming to mind. A few years ago, in the men's Bible study, I got to know these guys from different walks of life and ethnic background. I felt safe to open myself up to share with them this question. How come I feel so tired and drained on Monday when I go to work? You know, after I've been working a whole week and taking care of the family and serving at church on Sunday, wow, I feel very tired. What should I do? There wasn't any answer from the group, but I'm sure they're praying for me. Lately, I have learned the foundation of our service. If my service to others, for the society, becomes the focus of my life, it becomes my idol. I'm like a caged hamster running on a little treadmill, just running to death. Ken Shikamatsu, in his book, God and My Everything, set the foundation of my service to God in the practice of Sabbath. If you become too busy to take a day off at Sabbath, according to the commands of God, replacing God with our service, we're too busy trying to validate our self-worth. We're too busy saying that, you know, because of all these, of all the accomplishments I've made, it all belongs to me. The Sabbath, take us away from that compulsion. We have to take the Sabbath in order to understand where we're loved, where we're beloved by God, that we are cherished children of God. We actually grow in our trust in Him, and we do that. Eugene Peterson pointed out the Hebrew concept of a day actually begins with the evening, not with the morning, as we're accustomed to. This means every day begins with the rhythm of evening sleep and rest before the daylight's hours of work and activity. After the sleep, we awake to find that God has been working when we're resting, making dew-covered spider webs, spectacular cherry blossoms, and building hydrangeas and budding them. You and I don't go out there at nighttime and just use our knives and whatever instruments and trying to crank up those buds so that the flowers can bloom. No, God has already formed the mechanism into His creation. Understanding God provide for us in our sleep, we are freed to live with less anxiety. We don't need to wake up every morning trying to conquer the world with our water pistol. We serve Him from a place of rest, rather desperately needing rest from our service. So what do we do in Sabbath? We honor God by reminding ourselves of His character, like the songs that we sing. His almightiness, His power, His love and His care, His mercy. We gather with God's people to worship, pray, listen to scriptures, and immerse ourselves in the reality of His creation, maybe outdoors, maybe indoors. His creation power. The truth of our identity does not rely on what we can do, but what He has already done, how He loves us. So serve from the place of rest. I would like to conclude in saying this. No matter what our background is, we all long to belong. The sense of belonging gives us security and peace. That's why when we come together, we come as brothers and sisters and friends, open ourselves up, put aside our pride, put aside our prejudices. We don't have to do anything because God has paid it all. We're here to love and care for each other. But more than that, also in the local church, we need everyone to contribute with a supernatural gift that God has given us so that we can serve each other with diligence and wisdom. We want to allow our church in this tapestry of love and unity and grace become a nurturing ground for us to build ourselves up so that we can be witness for the rest of the world. What it would look like if every one of us in UCAC, in your church, served fervently with our primary gift. Remember our vision statement? Turning people into fully devoted followers of Jesus. What part can you and I play in this picture? Remember, the exercise of our gifts comes from the Sabbath rest of our soul, not from our strength. But what He's already done in our life, the peace and the strength that comes within. Our church needs you. You have abilities and talents, experience and background that no one else in this world has except you. UCAC cannot be whole, cannot be complete unless I'm all in, unless you're all in. Are you willing to step up to His calling? Let us pray.